Okay, we're going back to the series In Jesus' Presence. And the aim is to discover what the Bible teaches us about meeting God in the ordinary circumstances of life, as if life were ever ordinary. It's very often extraordinary, isn't it? But anyway, that's the aim. And we've had so far created to be with God, listening to God, walking with God, resting with God, delighting in God, and this morning it's time for touching God. So, touching. It's vital, isn't it, touching? Remember lockdown, when we couldn't touch people, when we couldn't hug our grandchildren, when we had to meet people through glass. Dreadful time. Touching is really important, very important to us as human beings. Physical contact makes us human. So before we read the story, let's pray. Father God, we come to you in Jesus' precious name. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the record of your life on earth. We know that you're here and longing to speak to us, and we pray that yours will be the voice that we hear this morning. Amen. So I'm going to read from Luke chapter 8, beginning at verse 40. Jesus heals two women. A man named Jairus, a synagogue leader, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. A woman was there who'd suffered bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. Jesus asked, "Who touched me?" Everyone denied it. Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and lots of people are pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of the people, she explained why she'd touched Jesus and how she'd been instantly healed. And Jesus said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." While Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. He said, "Your daughter is dead. Don't bother the teacher anymore." Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid. Just believe, and she will be healed." When he arrived at the house of Jairus, Jesus did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, James, and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. "Stop wailing," Jesus said. "She's not dead, but asleep." They laughed at him, knowing she was dead. But Jesus took her by the hand and said, "My child, get up." Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up, and Jesus said, "Give her something to eat." Her parents were astonished, but Jesus ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened. This is an amazing story, and it's always fascinated me, I think. It's about two daughters, both of them, actually, very near death, until they touch Jesus. It takes place in Galilee. Jesus had grown up in Galilee, and he taught in the local synagogues there, and he healed the sick. And as you can imagine, hearing that there was a healer in town was very exciting. Over Jubilee, we spent 2 days in London, and that was very exciting. We didn't even get a glimpse of the Queen, but it was still exciting. But if a healer came to Warwick, wow, that's in a different league, isn't it? The whole country heard about Jesus. And it wasn't just his healing that they were hearing about, it was his teaching. He taught in the synagogues, and he taught with authority. And just before the story we've just read, he'd actually healed a man who was possessed by evil spirits, and that wasn't the first time he'd done that. So there's not just physical healing going on, there's spiritual healing, there's mental healing. And the people said, "What is this teaching? With authority and power, he gives orders to evil spirits, and they come out. Who can do that?" The people were full of hope. We heard a lot about hope last week, didn't we, from Phil? The people were full of hope. Maybe the promised Messiah was here. They wanted to touch Jesus because they could see that his power was changing lives. I don't know what your hopes are, that the politicians will deliver what we need, that the NHS will eradicate COVID or eradicate cancer. Don't misunderstand me. As Nick said, it's right to pray for our leaders, and I personally am very grateful to the NHS. God, in his grace, has blessed us with medical science, and it's right to use it. But hope for the future of the world? Don't think I'm going to trust the politicians for that. Only Jesus has the answer. And by this point in Jesus' career, the crowds were so thick that they almost crushed him, or almost suffocated him, is the meaning of the word. I grew up in Birmingham. And at Christmas time, or New Year when the sales were on, you could go into the bull ring and literally almost be carried along by the crowds. It was just mad, manic, even worse than it was in London over Jubilee. And can you imagine working in a situation like that? This is where Jesus was every day, more and more people coming and coming. Anyway, let's focus on some people who met Jesus on this particular day. There was Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue. He was a man who had faith. He was responsible for supervising the fabric of the building. Maybe his job was a bit like John Morris's, actually. He needed to make sure that the place was ready for people to come and worship in. He wasn't a priest, but he was a devout Jew, and as such, he knew the Old Testament Jewish law. So bear that thought in mind, because that's very important. He was wealthy, but his wealth and his religion weren't enough to heal his child. And this child was, in fact, almost a woman, because round about the age of 12 or so, in that culture, families who arranged marriages would be getting together to arrange a marriage for her. Another thing to note is that in Jewish circles, culture, the family line is carried down matriarchally, which means through the women. So this only daughter of Jairus was very important. He wanted his family name continued. She was becoming sexually mature. Her whole life was ahead of her. And yet it was about to be snuffed out prematurely. Can you begin to see Jairus's desperation? He has but one daughter, and she's not simply very ill. She's dying. So he manages to push his way through the crowd, and he falls at Jesus' feet. to beg him to heal his daughter. And straight away, they start making their way to Jairus' house. The crowds must have been really, really difficult to get through. And Jairus was in a hurry. He had faith. He had faith that Jesus could heal his sick daughter. But if his daughter died meanwhile, his faith didn't stretch beyond that. And then, suddenly, things start to go very badly wrong for Jairus. A woman pushes her way through the crowd. She comes up behind Jesus. And unlike Jairus' daughter, she didn't have anybody to plead on her behalf. She was totally on her own. And she was extremely vulnerable. She had an illness that was very embarrassing. She wouldn't have wanted to talk about it. She wanted to get to Jesus, who she'd heard about, as quickly as she could, touch his garment, she knew that was enough, and go away again. For 12 years, she'd been bleeding. It's an awful long time to be ill, isn't it? And according to Jewish law, she was ritually unclean. She was supposed to be isolating, you know, back to lockdown. She wasn't supposed to be touching anybody. It was her responsibility to make sure that nobody else became unclean. 12 years she'd been ill, and that's the same length of time that Jairus' daughter had been alive. So on the one hand, you've got a young girl in the prime of life, becoming sexually mature, with her whole future in front of her, about to start her reproductive years. And on the other hand, you've got a woman who is suffering so badly with a gynecological complaint that she could never become a mother. I'm going to read from Leviticus chapter 15, verses 25 and 27. This is the law. When a woman has a discharge of blood for many days at a time other than her monthly period, or has a discharge that continues beyond her period, she will be unclean as long as she has the discharge, just as in the days of her period. Anyone who touches her will be unclean. They must wash their clothes and bathe with water, and they will be unclean till the evening. And the culture in Jesus' day was heavily focused to be obedient to these instructions. So that poor woman was condemned to believe that anything or anyone she touched became unclean. She was soiled. She was unworthy. And that's why she didn't attempt to touch Jesus himself, just the hem of his garment. I don't know about you, but my heart has always gone out to this woman as I've read this story, which is why I chose it, actually. Many women suffer still today, don't they, in ways that she did. Do you remember I said I was grateful to the NHS? Well, I could hardly believe it when I added it up, but it was just about 12 years that I had exactly the same complaint as her. And I could not persuade any medic to take me seriously. Finally, when I was very ill, my condition was dealt with through surgery. But that wasn't an option for this woman. It wasn't a miracle in my case. It was the NHS, and I'm grateful to them. But this woman didn't have that option. She needed Jesus. And here she is at the feet of Jesus. And the instant she touched Jesus' clothes, she was healed. The risk had paid off. Can you imagine, after 12 years of not being able to go and worship in the synagogue, not being able to be with family, not being able to touch anybody, being afraid of going out in case she touched anybody, finally, her wounded soul and her damaged body were healed. But then something happened. something that she hadn't bargained for, and Jairus certainly hadn't bargained for, Jesus said, "Who touched me?" Well, the disciples were incredulous. "Who touched you? Look at the crowd. Everyone's bumping up against you." But there's touching, and there's touching, isn't there? This woman's touch was intentional. It was done with a particular purpose in mind, and it was life-changing. And Jesus knew that she touched him, not because he'd felt her, but because power had gone out from him. And the woman knew at that point, embarrassing as it was, she had no choice but to fall at Jesus' feet and explain what had happened. So she came trembling and she did that. And then what did Jesus say? Something wonderful. He called her daughter. I believe there's no one else in scripture that he ever called daughter. And immediately she's got family. She hasn't had family for ages. And he said her faith had healed her and that she could go in peace. Maybe you have bumped up against Jesus, either here week by week. You've bumped up against people who believe in Jesus. You've thought about him. You've heard about him. You've wondered if there's anything in this Christianity business. What Jesus longs for is for us to deliberately, on purpose, reach out to him. We can bring him our scars. We've all got them, haven't we? Our wounds, our disasters, our failures, our disappointments, our utter confusion at times. And whatever the question is, he has the answer. Do you think it's strange that Jesus should say that this woman's faith had healed her? Because, of course, it wasn't her faith that actually did the healing. It was the power of God. Jesus had felt that power leave him. But he knows the importance of faith. His power might always be available to help us. His power is always available to help us. But he won't force himself on us. How is your faith? You're amongst God's people here, and it's a good place to pray for more faith. And if you put your faith in him, even if it's only a tiny seed, then it will grow as it's used. But we need to go back to Jairus for a minute. This poor, well, he's not poor, but you know what I mean, grief-stricken man. What's going through his head? As if the crowd hadn't hampered their progress enough, there's a lengthy interruption with this poor, wretched woman, Jesus demanding that she make herself known and explain what she was doing. Jairus could seriously have done without this interruption. Add to the fact that Jairus knew all about ceremonial uncleanness. He knew about that law we read. And there were terrible visions in his mind. Had Jesus been made unclean because the woman had touched him? Was there a danger of the woman touching Jairus? Perish the thought. The worst scenario could be that several people needed to wash themselves, wash their clothes, be unclean until evening. What state would his daughter be in by then? And then, his worst fears. A messenger arrives to say, "Your daughter is already dead." Earth-shattering news. Don't bother Jesus anymore. It was too late. But clearly it wasn't. Jesus didn't show any intention of going for cleansing. He told Jairus not to worry, but believe. And when they arrived at the house, there was an enormous commotion. We know that Jairus was wealthy, and Jewish people are not quiet in the face of death and grief. They mourn very loudly. And Jairus, Jairus' family had no doubt hired professional mourners to come and weep and wail for the lost daughter. And when Jesus said the girl wasn't dead but sleeping, they just laughed at him. They knew she was dead. They'd seen death before. But Jesus didn't want anything to do with that commotion. He told the unbelievers to go outside. And he just took the girl's parents and his close friends into the house. It was also a very bad thing for Jews to touch a dead body. That would make them ceremonially unclean as well, but that didn't bother Jesus. He took the girl by the hand and said, "Get up." And immediately she got up. And immediately she needed something to eat. It wasn't a case of, "Oh, I've not been very well for weeks. I need a bit of time to get back on my feet. Maybe I'll just have water to start with." She's totally cured immediately. And her parents are dispatched to get some food for her. So we have the second miracle of the day, and the two are very interestingly intertwined, aren't they? And I think the faith of Jairus and his wife and the disciples must have been very stretched that day. They'd seen that Jesus not only has power over illness, but he has power over death. Jesus' ministry lasted about 3 years before he himself died. He was executed. He was arrested by people who were jealous and suspicious of him, despite all these wonderful things that they'd seen him do. He went through a rigged trial and he died for us, for you, for me. He was mocked in the story today. Remember that? They laughed at him. He was mocked before he died. He knows what it's like to be ridiculed. And Jesus died to take our sins upon himself at the cross. So the big issue is our sin, our uncleanness. Yes, illness is a big issue and it affects us all. But the much bigger issue is, what are we going to do about all those things that separate us from God? There is no reason to believe that miracles don't happen anymore. Healing miracles. When God steps into the world and does something which goes against the laws of nature, miracles happen. And God still heals people today. He hasn't changed. But the greatest miracle of all was when Jesus didn't stay dead on that cross, but came back to life, conquering forever the thing that we fear the most, death itself. These stories are not telling us that we'll always be healed, but rather what it looks like to reach out to Jesus in times of pain, heartache, isolation, loneliness, whatever you're going through, in order to receive the amazing gift: you're loved and known by your Creator. There isn't any prejudice with Jesus, is there? He was moved with pity for everyone in desperate need. Synagogue ruler, wretched woman, wherever you see yourself today, if you feel in need of Jesus' power for healing, physical healing, spiritual healing, mental healing, reach out and touch him. Come and touch him. Do you need his forgiveness? Come and touch him. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for the gift of your Son Jesus. Thank you for his work in this dark, evil world. Thank you for his love for each and every one of us, regardless of who we are and what we're facing. Thank you for his willingness to die in our place, to offer us salvation from ourselves. Thank you for his power over death. Teach us, please, what it means to reach out and touch you today. In Jesus' awesome name, amen.